All right, guys, welcome back to another Uversion 2 podcast. You are with Shaunie C and Brent. Brent, TP.
Yo.
How are you?
Yo, I'm on fire.
On fire. You don't sound...
You said I was in a good mood when I walked in.
You were fucking sprightly this morning. You got a bounce in your step.
We're on.
You don't bounce very often. Guys, today we are going to talk about injuries. Injuries suck, obviously. We're going to talk about our experience with injuries, what we see with the clients with injuries, and hopefully give you guys some insight on how to sort of deal with it and still move forward. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of life, and especially if you're dedicated to your health and fitness, in the pursuit of getting better, you're obviously going to have to push yourself at times in different areas, and that can unfortunately sometimes lead to injury. And we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about how you can continue to move forward even though you're injured. However, before we start, as always, let's talk about what's caught our eye this week. Brent, anything for the people?
Caught my eye. It's in your face. How can we not talk about it? Coronas.
Coronas.
Let's jump
on. I love a Corona. Hot lime. Ice cold Corona with lime.
In gotta
hot
be summer. Weather.
God, such a summer beer.
The coronavirus. It's everywhere.
And it's getting rammed down our faces. And like, I guess we'll say this now, and if this ever gets listened to in 10 years or down the track by someone, hopefully it's something that we go, what was the big deal all about? But there is just so much hysterics and fear and panic, and I just don't think it's, I don't say necessary is the right word, I just think it's compounding the problem.
Dude, you know what I thought of when I saw fucking toilet paper gate? Where everyone in Australia's gone nuts for toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know how you watch TV, like movies and stuff, and it's always about like the government holds back information from people. Like the government knows they're aliens, but they hold it back. Or in the movie, like there's an asteroid coming, but they won't tell the people about it. What has happened in the past week is 100% example about that actually could be true. Because can you imagine the government dropping some information like there's fucking aliens among us, the hysteria that would cause if over a virus that is obviously not ideal, but it's also not like, I mean, there's far worse things happening in the world than the coronavirus and people are going crazy over it. Can you imagine some real shit? This is why the government holds information back, because people are fucking stupid.
I can't believe it. I'll tell you the ironic thing as well, and this is, I'm not making jokes about saying it, like, it's quite serious. Like, let's be real about it. If you're, you know, people with weakened immune systems, or particularly the elderly, it's real. Like, I'm not saying, like, this is not something made up. Like, this isn't, you know, the Y2K happening all over again where the unknown is coming. Like, yes, it's a very real thing. But you know how you see... And it's always a laugh when, you know, an old video will pop up of, like, for example, a Boxing Day sale in America where people are, like, trying to grab TVs.
It's still happening on Black Friday.
Like, Black Friday sales, and people, like, fucking trying to kill each other and just to save a few hundred bucks on a flat screen.
Yeah.
That's toilet paper now in Australia. And I just think it's, like, it's a little bit embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I have not heard any symptoms of the coronavirus being... that you get the runs. My understanding is that people are going crazy over this toilet paper because when SARS was a thing, back when, like, ages ago when SARS was going around, that one of the side effects of SARS was you got the runs.
I feel like that. That's specifically not... there's two tangents on it are going to be the packaging and it running out, like if it's coming from China. If that's one thing that means that there's literally no stock.
But aren't we making it here?
Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know this, and this is where, like, we're just two men freestyling on this, having a chat.
So you guys talking about toilet
paper. Happens all the time. You know, who cares about facts? But I feel like the packaging probably might be coming from there.
There's just worse things. I just can't even believe it, bro. I can't even believe it. These idiots.
Nah, well, the other thing so as well is, like, I think it's also, then the other thing is not only the packaging. So I don't know about production. You know, we import a lot of stuff from China, obviously. But then the other thing, I think people are in, like, bunker mode. Like, if we get locked down. And I think that's where, like...
If we get locked down, I've got enough toilet paper to last me a year.
Do you?
No, that's what these people are doing. Oh, I don't.
You. I was like,
I don't have a fucking shower.
I don't have storage at home. I don't know.
I don't understand.
Anyway, I'm just a bit... That's all. I'm a little bit, like, I'm sick of what I'm seeing on social media. I've had enough.
Mm.
Memes are no longer funny. I'm done. But if you need to be on social media to see them, so I'm just having a bit of a break for a minute. And for me, I'm like, I don't really care. I've got a subscription. And I got an email this week.
Subscription to what?
Toilet paper.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do, yeah. So what? I don't actually have to buy it anymore. So each month we get a box delivered to home.
You basically have a toilet paper subscription.
Yeah. And so I checked and...
Oh, God.
I know a few people that like run supermarkets or independents, and it's like, oh, man, the supplier, your company says it's out of stock. So don't worry, I got an email and it says that the website's saying sold out because they're holding their stock for their subscribers. For the 25
people that have subscribed. I can't believe I've
done that. I win.
No, you don't.
I win.
You don't, because you have to go through life saying that you subscribe to toilet paper, you don't win. That's one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard.
There you go.
Some fucking bangers. That's right up there from you. Like, that for me, that's up there with you choosing rings as the last piece of equipment for the rest of your life. Which has been wholeheartedly laughed at by the people. Now they're laughing because you subscribe to toilet paper. So good.
Oh, that's made my day. Well done. We can end it there, actually. I'm very happy with that. Tell us about your week. Let's move on from Coronas.
Just a side note, Corona, the company Corona, have seen a massive dip. I don't want to fuck. I mean, we can just make the stats up a little bit. No one's really going to look it up. I reckon it's 30 to 40% drop in sales, though, I've heard, in America of Corona. That's how dumb the Americans are. They're not drinking Corona anymore because of coronavirus. That's a true story.
Fuck, I don't want to fact check that.
So when you think we're dumb for stocking up on toilet paper, which we are, the Americans aren't drinking Corona anymore. That's where we're at. Unless they bought a subscription, in which case they get a carton delivered every week anyway. Probably loving those people right now.
Could be, yeah.
So, look, I know a lot of people always wait every week to hear my Netflix recommendation, because I've got one every week. Oh, I have got one again this week. New series. Not new series, new series for me. Netflix, definitely on Netflix. This one's called Marco Polo.
Oh, you didn't let me do it.
Oh, yeah. Were you going to do it?
You went too quick because I was like sort of
Marco.
Fish out of water.
Definitely not. Still in the water. 1 foot. The Marco Polo is... I don't know anything about Marco Polo. So I don't even know if this is a true story or not, what I'm watching. Might be. As I'm watching...
You didn't even read the blurb on Netflix.
As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, how did this guy turn into a game you play at the pool? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, Marco Polo, the story is about, they call him a Latin, but I don't know where he's from, essentially getting caught up in, I'm so loose on details. He's with, I'm doing a bad job of this, trust me, it's good, but, so just stay with me. Essentially, it's back in Asia, it's in China, and the Mongols have power of China, the Khan of Khans. Right, you know Genghis Khan?
Yep.
So Khan is like that family or whatever, or the person who's in charge of the Mongols, and they're trying to take over all of China except this one little province that they can't get a hold of at the moment. And the story is about that. It's about Marco Polo's dad essentially being a traitor, getting caught by the Khan, and essentially in exchange for him able to continue to trade, they keep his son Marco as like an insurance policy that he doesn't screw them over, right? And then so Marco Polo grows up amongst the Mongols and amongst the Khan, and he's part of the, he's like a guest of the king, essentially, or the Khan. And they treat him like, you know, one of theirs, like he's not allowed to do whatever he wants, essentially, but they train him in the ways of the Mongols and how to ride the horses and how to fight and like the ways of the court and how politics work and stuff. Anyway, it's a cool thing. I'm about 6 or 7 episodes in of the first season, and I thoroughly would recommend it, even though I've done an absolutely horrible job of telling what it's about. It's great if you like that old school, ancient Chinese style setting of a show. Definitely worth a watch. There's no subtitles. Great show. Marco Polo. I'll tell you how it ends when I find out. What are you doing? You're looking it up.
Yeah, I was just... The question, this is more intriguing for me than Netflix. I just searched and it says, why is the pool game called Marco Polo?
Great question.
Yeah.
Because I don't get it from what I've seen so far.
And
unless he ends up dying in a pool.
Next line, it actually has a lot in common with The Explorer.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. And then the article goes on, but...
And you're not going to read any of it. So,
no.
Marco Polo on Netflix. Anyway, if you want something to watch, it's a little in-depth. Like, you've got to watch it. You've got to watch it with... like a bit of concentration because there's a lot of names and stuff. You got to get used to the names of the people, but definitely worth a watch. Highly recommend. All right, that's it. Should we jump into injuries?
Let's do it.
Injuries. I've had them. You've had them. How about we talk about let's talk about firstly, like an opening statement of injuries. As we said at the very beginning, they're going to happen, especially when you're pursuing your fitness and you're trying to get better. The idea about getting better is you're going to have to overload yourself. You're going to have to put your body under some sort of stress to cause an adaptation to get better. And so in doing that occasionally, you obviously don't want to be getting injured all the time, but little niggles are going to happen and sometimes injuries like full stop are going to happen. So I know I've had heaps. I reckon I pretty much for the last 10, 15 years have constantly had some sort of niggle. Like not everything's felt good. Right now I actually feel really good. But in general, I've always had a niggle. So I've had some pretty bad injuries as well. And I know that we wanted today just to talk about what you can do when you get injured and how you can continue to move forward even though you are injured. So what's your experience with injuries been?
So I feel like I think the truth, like for most people
think that I'm crazy
is that essentially to explain to them your body's a machine and it's so important to keep it serviced. Yeah,
my body's a machine.
You got to keep it serviced, you got to keep it well oiled, and you know, I think it's also in certain people's personalities to push boundaries too, or there can also be circumstance of unluck. That statement doesn't make sense, you get what I mean. With poor grammar, but
being unlucky,
and I think it can vary from many things, like you know, a minor thing like, you know, pulling a muscle or, you know, tweaking a knee or something like that, all the way through to like more severe side of things where you might have to get surgery or, you know, ongoing rehab, and you're probably more severely debilitated than, you know, for example, a sprained ankle.
Mm-hmm.
My experiences are a couple. I'll start with my biggest one, and I don't even know if you'd call it an injury, but it's going to be have the same reason I'm telling it. It's when back in the end of 2011, 2012, when I got DVT.
Mm-hmm.
So, small story, I got blood clots in my shoulder, in my left shoulder, so pretty close to my heart. It was, I guess, training related, so like I'll put it in the same category. And that was, I'm not gonna lie, like, and this is gonna be a lot of people things, like my initial thing is like, I was fucking scared.
Mm.
Like, and there was also high risk that it could have been, you know, a lot more severe condition and problem, you know, pending treatment and direction that I took, whether it was, you know, lifestyle change or surgery orientated. But nonetheless, it was a huge, huge, huge speed hump that was unexpected. And I think same when, you know, I think it's actually funnily enough, like there's same when you hear like, you know, the trauma of someone having a breakup or something, like there's the anger phase, there's the, you know, the phase where you regret and all these different emotions and feelings you go through. I think it's so normal with an injury as well. However, my approach was obviously prioritizing, which meant going down the path of medical to make sure like I am going to survive and like, you know, I'm not going to be at risk in any sense, because obviously that was more important than getting back into the gym. It then took a little bit of phase of a big avoidance for me, where it was like a lot of fear around going, I'm just going to not use that. I didn't go down the surgical path.
Yeah.
So getting the right treatment. So that was everything from going down the hierarchy of going, you know, having, you know, being in emergency all the way down to, you know, appointments with vascular surgeons. And then eventually, I think the biggest and the most influential person with me was getting in the hands of Dr. Nick. But this was probably not till at least 2 years afterwards where I started to feel the, I guess, repercussions or hangover from the avoidance of, you know, trying to, back to the machine, go back to what I wanted to be in terms of like athletically and my health wise, but my machine wasn't balanced anymore. And then going through and getting someone such as Dr. Nick to break me down and start from scratch again. And it's very, very hard. Like, you know, the male ego gets in the way. Like, you know, here I am thinking I'm a strong guy that wants to perform, but at the same time, I'm back to doing very, very fundamental things and my brain doesn't even understand what they are. Mm. So there was a lot of like repatterning that had to happen. I had to essentially recalibrate my whole body. I had to work on balancing everything. Like, everything's linked. I learned that the hard way as well. And then, you know, and then I guess that carries into, that has probably been, the reason I say that is then I feel like that has been one of the major impliers of my ongoing injuries, which will always come back to that shoulder. For example, if I've, you know, fucked my back squatting, it will always come back to, you know, the opposite glute not firing or having a weak lat. And that's been an ongoing thing and I'm aware of it, but now it's a matter of going, okay, cool, like, am I being presented with any types of pain? Like, am I, you know, feeling different and having to have awareness around it? And I feel like it's going to be like me for the rest of my life, but that's why I also am an ambassador for getting, I guess, ongoing treatment and having that awareness of your body. And truthfully, most people don't have it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit of a niggle, don't do it. So that was a really long-winded answer, but I feel like they've been my main ones in terms of that trauma or that condition that I had. And then that's related to my most frequent injury would probably be my back. And then I, you know, I guess what I do there is just follow the process. I understand it. I never, ever, ever stop training.
Yeah.
I will always get treatment. I just know that I have to do it. I've maxed out my private health before on it. More money than, you know, people go, oh, wow. Like, things, but it's important to me. Like, look at what we do for a living. Like, we run gyms and we help people with movement and health. It's like, I can't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So getting the right treatment and understanding that with that comes a long, 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 long road to recovery. And rehabilitation is not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a slow road, putting building blocks and fundamentals back together. But it's also an opportunity. So with that, with mine, it also came, it can open up new doors. So my main was, well, sweet, you have this condition, no more weightlifting, no CrossFit, you're restricted on these things. So it's like, okay, cool, what can you do? Yeah. It's opened the biggest door in my life with martial arts. So it's like, well, cool, I can go down this path of training now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of opportunity behind those problems and adversity that you can face, but on a micro level as well. It's like, when you have a fucked back, it's like, well, cool, what can you focus on? Yeah. Like, this isn't going to make the problem worse, and it's something you're probably avoiding on the day-to-day. So I think with injury and adversity comes a lot of problems. But at the same time, it does open up many doors of opportunity to go, I've been avoiding this.
Yeah.
And reflection. And it can definitely change direction, but I feel like that's life. And not many people deal with it in the best manner.
Yeah, well, that's obviously a fairly significant example of an injury. I reckon it'd be good to touch on some less serious injuries. I feel like a lot of people, like I said, in the kind of training we do here, and just in general, the kind of training most people do, they're going to pick up niggles. You know, their shoulder's going to feel a bit whack, or their knee's a little bit sore, or their lower back is going to feel really stiff, or their hamstrings are tight. I feel like, you know, we hear a lot, not only from ourselves talking to each other, but also the clients that we have, and then also the people that we know in other gyms that we talk to them a lot as well about. That's like a pretty ongoing sort of thing. And it's funny, isn't it, how where you hear people that do that, everyone sort of reacts to that sort of problem a lot differently. Some people will adjust their goals or adjust like what they're doing in training and just continue to move forward. And some people will use that as an excuse to fall into some pretty negative habits of deciding they don't have to move anymore because they're not moving, they don't have to worry about what they're eating. And it starts this big spiral. And obviously what we're trying to do here, and like obviously, you know, with the podcast, is like get people to not go into that sort of spiral. And so if you, like, what are your sort of recommendations to someone who gets a niggle? It's not a serious injury, but it's obviously preventing them from doing a certain type of movement, or a certain kind of movement is
not ideal for them at the moment? What do you sort of suggest them to continue to keep
this moving forward? literally happens, I would say, every other day in the gym.
Yeah.
When you're seeing a lot of people, it's so normal. My general, I also think it's important here, and this is a bigger picture of the industry. Firstly, I think people should stay in their lanes, and we're personal trainers, we're coaches, that I don't specialize in rehabilitation, and also have a responsibility potentially dozen other people in the room that also want a good experience.
Yeah.
So firstly, it needs to be acknowledged and it does need to be taken seriously. So for example, it's like something like really minor. My general rule, this is just a personal thing that I picked up, and it seems to work pretty well with someone. It also gives us some responsibility and also lets them have ownership over the problem. I'll just say, okay, cool, Sean, you're like coming to class like, man, my shoulder's feeling a little bit, you know, Jack, I'll say, cool, like, do you know, like, what's changed in the last couple of weeks, or was there an isolated incident? Just get a little bit of background around it and say, look, okay, cool, so today we're going to be doing this, this, and this. Just have a filter on. If it's currently feeling a 2 out of 10, my rule generally is you do not make that a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
And if it does, we need to, like, stop. Like, because I think our role as coaches is to not move anyone backwards.
Yeah.
That's not a rule. Like, that should not happen. Mm. People in the class and paying for a service to move forwards and grow. So that's always the first thing, is do not go from a 1 to a 2 or a 2 to a 3. And that does come down to showing them you care, but them also having some awareness and, you know, a filter on to going, my body isn't 100%.
Yeah.
I think part two of my answer there is always to be going that, and it's why we've done it for so long, you need to be partnered with someone that can offer help.
Yeah.
And once again, that can only be a door. We're lucky here that we have such good rapport and relationships that 9 times out of 10, people will listen to us.
Yeah.
I had a consult yesterday. I haven't even met this person in the flesh yet. And she said, oh, you know, I just to let you know, when you come in doing the screening, I'm presenting with this and this is my history. I was like, hey, do you know what? The best thing you can do, we're partnering with these guys, is just go for your visit and then we can have a three-way relationship. So we have this nice triangle where they're not going to tell you most of the time, you're not going to be able to train.
Yeah.
They want you training. They want your blood flowing. They want you to getting every other benefit of health, but we just don't want that particular specific area to get worse. So then that way we can also, you know, it's just showing care at the end of the day and going, sweet, hey, you can be in here. I understand you have a shit knee right now, but here's the things that we can work us on.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we've got that relationship, because the guys we work with at Balance Health and Performance, they're experts. They're absolutely experts in injuries, in injury rehabilitation, amongst other things, but that's one of the things they're very, very good at. And that's why I always sort of raise an eyebrow when I know somebody's been to see somebody who's not one of their guys, like someone somewhere else, and they've pretty much told them to stop exercising. Because I think in all the years we've worked with them, maybe 6 or 7 years, and all the people that have been there through some serious injuries and some just only small minor injuries that have got nibbed in the butt really quick, I reckon I've only heard once ever them recommend someone not exercise at all. I remember one time, maybe a couple of years ago.
I got one recent, and just so asterisk, that wasn't a gym incident.
Yeah.
And we trust that, and that's cool.
Yeah, but I trust that also because it's so rare. It's like I said, there's probably one in, like, you know, it's probably 1% of the people we send there, they say can't train. So if they're the experts in rehab and they're the experts in, you know, talking and dealing with injuries, and they're saying that so rarely it is that you can't train at all, that's why, I mean, that should be encouraging to someone here. It's saying, well, if I do pick up a niggle, there's probably other things I can do. And I think from that point of view, it's all just about a mindset shift. It's about I've got to do the things I've got to do to get this injury sort of back on track. Might be avoidance, it might be some strengthening exercises around it, might be some mobility, could be whatever it might be, the rehabilitation for it. But at the same time, I can do this whole other range of exercises, and that's the range of exercises or movements that I need to be focused on at the moment and trying to get them better. Classic example is, for example, say, you know, we've had people bust their knees for whatever reason, and they might say have to go super easy on it for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Well, that's an opportunity for us to work on their upper body, especially in our strength sessions if they want to work on their bench press or something. Like, that's a really basic example, but I think there's always something you can do. Like I said, it's so rare that an injury is going to take you completely out of the ability to train or do exercise, that it's really important just to have a mindset shift to saying, right, this sucks, but these are the list of things I need to do to get this thing better, and these are the list of things that I can still do to really good standard, and I'm going to focus on those.
Yeah, I think and it's that refined now, and I'll just share with you our system as well, that when we hear that, like, I literally have a cut and paste, like a swipe message in my phone with their contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the moment that training session finishes and someone's mentioned they're presenting with something, they've got it. It is obviously it's on them to book.
Yeah.
But like I said, we have good relationship rapport. They should probably listen to us.
Yeah.
Most of the time that works. And when I get a reply saying, oh, have you heard of these guys? I'm like, no, that's not the fucking contact I sent you.
Yeah.
I don't have a relationship with them. So then those appointments are booked. And literally the moment, and I think it's not a coincidence we're partnered with them. There's some cool people, like personality-wise, they've got a really diverse team. And it's a credit to Nick on how he's grown and developed his team. I'm like, I feel so safe sending them there.
Yeah.
So what will happen, like, majority of the time, if it's something we need to know about, you know, Sean's had his appointment, he's now leaving, you know, their practice. Literally before he's probably got to his car, whoever the practitioner was, we're getting a message on Facebook, whether it's just a quick audio or a quick email, just saying, hey, Sean's just left here. Here's what we've seen and noticed and what we observe. Here's how we're going to treat it for the next week or 4 weeks. And I want you to focus on A, B, and C, and I want you to avoid X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy. Sean's taken care of. That person keeps training. They keep showing up to the gym. They keep spending time really around good people.
Yeah.
And that's a really neat system, and it works. Whereas most people, we go and reflect message saying, oh, not most people, rarely with us, but I'm sure this happens heaps, is like, firstly, a gym owner won't even notice they're not there.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting at home with a sore back, avoiding treatment. And then what do? They stop moving. So they sit down and they're like, it's just making or prolonging any recovery at all. And what happens then? I'll comfort myself with food.
Yeah.
I'll comfort myself with Netflix that you guys didn't recommend. You know, all these, and it's like you said before, you use the word, it becomes a spiral.
Yeah, it's, yeah. The amount of times, like I said, it doesn't happen very often here with the people we talk to, but just, you know, as I'm socializing out on the weekend and stuff, the amount of conversations I have with people when they might say, like, I probably hear it once a month at least. I love going to the gym, but I'm injured at the moment, so I'm not training. And I'll be like, I just investigate a little bit, like, oh, what's up? Like, oh yeah, my shoulder just feels a bit tweaky. And like I said, but can't you just, like, there's heaps of other things you can
do. Dude, your calves look shit. Raise them.
I have average calves. They will always say, oh yeah, you know, but if I really like doing this, I can't do that, and you know, it's just too difficult. It's like, yeah, that's the attitude of some people, and we're really big here about continuing. Like, this is a whole long journey, and like we talk about so often, is like, it's not linear. There's going to be ups and downs. Injury is one of those downs, but it's not an excuse to not continue to try and move forward, or at least not go backwards, you know.
This is a pretty cool story. So I know, when back, like, with my DBT, I just started training jiu-jitsu, and whilst I was pretty heavily, you know, medicated and getting treatment, I wasn't allowed any fucking contact whatsoever, like no contact. I was on some wild blood thinners and stuff like that, and the worst thing I could have done was like get struck or anything like that. So I was completely off the table. But Marcus, I remember, said to me, he's like, put your gear on and come and just be in the room. And everyone's like, it's wasting time. Mm. What the fuck am I going to do that for? But I was also probably a little bit depressed.
Yeah.
But what I get was, he was like, you still get so much about being around your family. You still get so much about, like, being in the room,
yeah,
watching, fucking smelling it, still learning. And I'm so grateful that he just said that to me. And that was the expectation, like, show up.
You know, I'm really proud of the environment we have here at YB2, because a lot of people don't do this, but there has definitely been occasions where I can think of a handful right now off the top of my head where people have been injured, and, you know, maybe it's a fresh injury and they don't, like, they haven't seen anyone yet and they're a bit wary of what they should do, and they turn up anyway and they don't train. Or they might just sit in the corner and stretch, but they're still having a chat with people. There's certain classes here where that's definitely a possibility to happen, and they're happy to come down and just talk to some of their friends and just hang out, because they don't want to lose the habit of training. They don't want to lose the habit of turning up to the gym. They also just want to, like, see their friends, or sort of, like, they might be feeling a little bit down about their injury. It's nice to be around people still. So, yeah, I think that's a big, like, what you just used there is another big example. So I guess the bottom line here is, guys, that injuries happen. Yes, we've acknowledged that. There is definitely a way to handle it, though. Some injuries, you know, require some serious intervention, and other ones are very, very treatable.
What? I was about to ask you, what's your biggest injury? Yeah. And then I just thought about that. Remember that morning we ran that, the in-house games day?
Oh, yeah.
And I slept in.
I'm going to fuck my back.
You fucked your back. I was like, funny story. So we ran a comp in-house. So it was like closed gym for a Saturday. And the event was starting at 8.
Yeah. You were late. I'm like,
I wasn't late. I fucking missed the start of it.
Yeah.
But I remember the first event was a deadlift ladder. And we had like two heats for women, two heats for men's. So it was like literally every weight in the gym. There was multiple tons of weights on the floor.
Yeah.
I think I had like 20 something missed calls from you.
Yeah.
Because I remember waking up, I've done this. This is bad to say. I've done it twice in 10 years I've been doing this. And this was one of the occasions where I don't know what happened. I woke up and I had my shutters in my room, but I could see a crack of daylight. And yeah. I was like, fuck me, it could be lunchtime. It was lucky. It was only about 7:15. So I was already an hour and 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
And I found out and you were like, I had all those missed calls and you're like, motherfucker, my back's gone. And you're crawling around the gym,
yeah.
around all these barbells. Oh, ugly. But yeah, that was, it's funny now, is it?
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. And okay. The worst injury I've had was like, I hurt my back. Worst injury? Yeah, it probably is. I hurt my back at where we used to train together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to the bottom of a squat and I heard a like that as I was going down. And
you crawled out to your car that day, hey?
I bro. I was
what were you driving?
That's one of the instances where you do have a bad injury.
Was that a brown car? What did you have? What car was it?
No, it was blue. Oh. Blue Mazda 121 PJ. It's a fucking sick car. Okay. I love that car. Car's still alive now.
Is
it's one of those cars you just know is never gonna die.
Yeah, I remember you crawling. That was it Saturday, hey?
It was Saturday, yeah. And I literally didn't get out of bed for about 6 weeks. I fucked my back. I fucked it proper.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's a bad injury. If you do that, you probably can't train. But like I said, it's pretty rare. So back to my point before you interrupted with my backstory. Most injuries are just inconveniences and they're little things that need to be worked out. And to be honest, they're probably a really good opportunity to work out, oh shit, like I have got some imbalances here or I am a little bit weaker in this section of my body that I've not been focusing on or that I need to pay a bit more attention to. And they're an opportunity to work on those things and come back, you know, more bulletproof, you know, in a better position than you were before you got injured. So injuries, guys, that happen, we can definitely move on from them. Is there anything else you need to add, Sam?
No, I'm just thinking of all the stories now. Yeah, I come back. How about that day? I remember it would have been when we were on the floor together. It must have been a Wednesday or a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, because I trained at lunch and I got foot locked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it, you know, there you go. And there was like the pop, pop, pop noise in my ankle. And then I was like, oh, I'm cool.
I remember you sitting here.
Kept training, yeah. And then I ran like private in the afternoon. I felt all right, like walking around. And I don't know if it was adrenaline or what it was. Because I kept training after that. Mm. I was like, maybe sat out around. I was like, oh, I'll keep doing all good. I'm not stubborn. Like, I don't care. But I was like, I feel fine. And then every hour, every session went by, like shit got worse. And then I remember in the last class, I put out that dirty chair in the corner.
Yeah.
And I was like greening out.
It was funny.
And then I couldn't even drive home. Because I couldn't use the pedals.
Yeah.
And I remember that night, like, I remember he said, do you want me to carry your bag in for you? I was like crawling along my grass.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, I was a commando crawled from my front door to the shower. Asked,
do you want me to carry a bag or do you want to crawl it in?
I remember, crawling in. And I remember someone said once, I read an article about like, you know, like, I don't want to go into the whole like science of the whole rice thing and how that's evolved, like the compression, elevation shit.
Mm.
But I remember someone told me, and then I semi-looked it up, like the whole idea of like get the joint moving and try and bear load on it.
Yeah.
You know those fucking toys where they normally sit on your desk or a dashboard and you like push the bottom and then the animal collapses?
Yeah.
That was me the next day. I was like, just fuck it, stand up. Down. My foot didn't work. Yeah. I remember, dude, it was when, because it was Thursday, I said, I'm coming to the gym today.
Yeah.
There you go.
I tried to move my joint all night. It was the worst thing I've ever done.
Thank you, Voltaren.
All right, guys, injuries. Don't let them stop you. Guys, we'll be back again next week with another episode. Appreciate everyone sharing on Instagram. Make sure you tag us. Make sure you tag YouVersion2. Share it with friends. Tell people to listen. We love getting the feedback. So thank you to those guys who are giving us it. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Someone special next week? Confirmed or not confirmed?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Hopefully something different next week. All right, see you guys.